Welcome to the Centre for Cities podcast. Over the last couple of years, we've been looking at cities and the future of work, how this is changing, why it's changing, and how cities and government need to respond. After looking at industries and then occupations, our latest research has focused on self-employment. I'm joined by Eleanor Magrini, analyst at the Centre for Cities, lead on our Future of Work programme, and author of our latest report on self-employment. Eleanor, give us a sense as to what the report is looking at and why we chose to do it.
Yes, so there has been a lot of talks about how the labour market is changing, how the rise of the robots, automation, globalisation are affecting the labour market, and we know there has been a rise in self-employment in recent years. However, most of the conversation has been focusing on whether self-employment is good or bad and what that means for employment legislation. But we know less about the geography of self-employment and understanding how self-employment plays out across the country then matters in understanding how we can best support different places in thriving and creating opportunities for people.
Okay, so let's get into that, because we're always interested in these kind of national issues and how they play out and what's the geography of those issues. So first off, just give us a sense as to the rate and nature of urban self-employment versus non-urban self-employment.
So we know there has been a rise in self-employment, and we know that self-employment grew by 36% since 2008 and the financial crisis, but this growth has been much faster in cities at 44%. So now self-employment has become increasingly urban, and 52% of people that are self-employed now live in cities, compared to less than 50% in 2008.
Which are the industries that we've seen that urban self-employment grow the quickest in?
Just four occupations account for 54% of all self-employment in cities. That's construction, the transport industries, arts and entertainment, and the personal services industries. And they account for a much bigger share of all self-employment than they do for employment. And all in all, what we know is that over three quarters of all people that are self-employed tend to be in lower skilled occupations.
Yeah, so one of the other bits of analysis that you did was where we see more high skilled, where we see more low skilled.
Yes, so there is a clear geography to it, and it's quite stark. What we tend to see is that in places like Oxford and Cambridge, where the economy tends to be stronger, self-employed people are much more likely to be in high-skilled roles. They can be freelancer, consultant, or work in the arts industries, and they tend to supplement their self-employment income with other forms of employment. In contrast, in cities such as Burnley or Doncaster, the share of people that are self-employed in lower skilled roles, such as cleaners or hairdressers, is much, much higher. And these people tend to rely solely on self-employment as their source of income. And this is concerning, because if we think about their ability to adapt to a changing labor market, they will be much more exposed to insecurity and instability that these changes will create.
We also looked at the degree to which self-employment was the only source of income, or whether self-employment was a secondary or an additional source of income. Again, we noticed that there's some interesting geography to those patterns. So just say a little bit more about that.
People that are self-employed can either be self-employed only or have self-employment as additional source of income. Overall, we know that three quarters of all self-employed people in the UK do self-employment as their main and only job. But again, the geography is quite different. In places like Cambridge, over 40% of people that are self-employed only are self-employed, but also have another job. And this is particularly interesting because this is in stark contrast with cities with weaker economies, where instead people are much more reliant on self-employment as their only source of income. And when we tend to look at the kind of occupations that these self-employed people are in, are very much different. So it is the cleaners and the hairdressers that tend to be the ones self-employed as their only source of income, whereas instead, if you're self-employed as an additional source of income, you're much more likely to be in a high-skilled role, such as consultant, for example, or other professional services. Mm.
And when we think about the nature of the debate in relation to self-employment, a lot of it is essentially has been focused around the status of the self-employed individual, whether employment rights have sufficiently adapted and responded in order to do that. but much less in relation to skills and thinking about the evolution of and helping the self-employed develop new skills, which is something that we've particularly focused on. And that's in context of previous work that you've done, which is looking at how automation, globalization, future of work changes are going to affect the nature of jobs in the future. So just unpack that a little bit and say why skills was such a focus for us when we were thinking about the future of self-employment.
We know that one in five jobs in the UK is at high risk of automation by 2030. And we also know that the nature of existing jobs is changing dramatically. So what was a taxi driver job 10 years ago might have been quite different from what it is today. And other occupations are similarly changing. However, what we see is that self-employed people are much, much less likely to take up any form of training. Therefore, meaning that if their occupation is at risk of automation or at high risk of changing in the future, these people are less likely to take up the training they need to upgrade their skills to move to a different job.
And this would be particularly an issue given that one of the industries that we see a lot of self-employment in is the transport and storage industry, yes, which we know is likely to be affected quite significantly by changes in technology over the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, exactly. So we've seen a rise in self-employment, particularly in the transport industries, and yet we know that with driverless cars or other forms of automation, these jobs are at high risk of disappearing. So then what we suggest is that, yes, it is important that we try to understand employment legislation around self-employed people and what that means in terms of their employment status or what it means to be self-employed and being able to get a mortgage. But the skills element is really important and so far has been quite overlooked.
Okay, so if we want self-employment to continue to thrive in the future economy, and we definitely would want that to happen, and we're fairly confident that it will still be a prominent part of the future economy, what needs to change?
Three things. So the first thing is trying to support individuals to take up training. What we know is that at the moment, if you're self-employed, you're allowed to deduct the cost of training if this goes towards improving the skills in your role. But you're not allowed to deduct training if you want to be in a new occupation. That means that if you're a taxi driver and there is any sort of qualification that you can do to improve your driving skills, then you're allowed to do so and to deduct this cost of training from your income taxes. However, if you're a taxi driver and you want to learn digital skills or become work in marketing or other skills that we know that will become more important in the future, so analytical and interpersonal skills, you won't be able to deduct the cost of training from your income taxes.
So we want that element to be also tax deductible when they're thinking about the income tax returns.
Yes, because it's not just about the roles. We know that some roles are changing, some roles will disappear. So we need to ensure that people are able to shift from one occupation to another if needed.
Okay, so that, if that's the first one, what's the second one, I suppose, that relates more to industries rather than to individuals?
Yeah, that goes back to the point we said earlier. We know that 54% of all self-employed people are just in four industries. So these industries have very high levels of self-employment. And it seems sensible to believe that the businesses that are working in this industry would contribute to the training cost for those people that are self-employed. So we know, for example, the construction industries already has a body, a training board for the people working in this industry. And we need to make sure that this training board also takes into account the people that are self-employed and the other industries, so like transportation industries or personal services industries, can take up this form of training board and support the self-employed.
So if that's so the first one is about individuals, second one's about industries. What's the third area that we're thinking about in terms of what needs to change?
Third one is about place. What we saw in the report is that weaker economies tend to have a bigger share of these people that are likely to be more vulnerable to the changes in the labour market. So in that case, what we suggest is to help these cities improve their economic performance by becoming better places in terms of the attractiveness to businesses, by growing their skill set, by improving the infrastructure in those places. And this will snowball and impact also the self-employed in these cities that will have more and better opportunities in terms of job opportunities and opportunities in terms of how to improve their skills.
Fantastic. Eleanor, thanks very much for sharing your thoughts.
Thank you.